my place in tech changes every day. But I don't fear the future, because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts, so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
Hi, Rosie.
Hello, Justin.
Thanks for giving me a bit of time here. I wanted to chat to you because you are backing calls for people who have been victims of domestic violence for to take extra leave as a part of this. How would it work?
Look, I think, when I say have been, I think what I would be saying are currently victims, because obviously, my journey, particularly through the last year of Luke's life, I had to attend court multiple times. And it was the perpetrator, Luke's father, who basically used the court process as a further form of abuse, and was allowed to kind of basically get away with not turning up in adjournments and all of this palaver. So the actual time that you can end up spending in court is really stressful and unfair, and can really jeopardize your holiday leave or time that you have to take out of work, and place you in the victim in a very unfair position. Also, notwithstanding that, if you do fall out of work because you can't, because of the demands of court appearances and police statements and stress and anxiety and depression and all the things that you're subjected
to. Come with it, Do you think, is there a concern, Rosie, that that it would alert your workplace to the fact that you're having problems? I'm not suggesting for a second it's anything to be ashamed of. But
I totally agree, Justin. I think that, the paid leave that could, you could really use that could stop you from falling into poverty. It could stop you from falling into homelessness. It could give you the opportunity to understand that your workplace sends out a supportive message to the staff that are employed by them. So I think it's a really great initiative and support. But like you said, it is that sensitivity around disclosure. And certainly I don't think organisations and companies should be trying to position themselves in being, seen as experts and counsellors, and how do they handle someone. So, certainly I think it really does need to be highly confidential. It certainly needs to be strategies in place internally. But a lot of organisations, and I work for an organisation that really did have access to counselling support, where you had the opportunity within the workplace to have 3 counselling sessions. I didn't go and tell anybody, my manager included, why I was having the counselling sessions. So I think there is clearly the opportunity, certainly with the bigger organisations, as I said, with HR departments and understanding the need for confidentiality and things like that.
Well, you've got the ear of the Prime Minister these days, and I'm kind of glad you do. We need mouths like yours talking to the ears of Prime Ministers, people that have experience and understandings. How do you think he would react to this? You think he'd back it?
I think a lot of people probably immediately think of the cost to the organisation, the cost to the bottom line. Immediately it's all a bit, all about the employer having to give up, and it costs them. But, when you consider the retraining and loss of staff, you would have to consider that actually being able to support a staff member through an extremely difficult time in some kind of some way that can retain them, that has to be, up there as a saving rather than a cost, I would think, and I wouldn't know how to begin to do the math. Losing good staff members is does cost companies.
And we've got to take care of people. Rosie, do you think in this journey of yours, do you think that we're finally starting to get it in this country about domestic violence, getting a full understanding of the impact that it has on people?
I think we are, and I think this demonstrates that if it has the support, you know, into workplaces, it demonstrates to me that we've you know, this is an enormous leap, I think, because it's not just, I don't think, in my opinion, just saying, oh, here we go, we're going to give you, you know, this this paid leave if you need it. What it really is saying to me, we're going to become a workplace that is understanding of the issue of family violence.
Yeah, but it's not just this, is it? I mean, it's in everything that you have been talking about, and that we've the discussion that we've got on the agenda. We're starting to get it a bit, aren't we?
Well, every employer in every suburb in every profession is going to have 1 in 3 women in their staff members who are affected by family violence.
Wow, 1 in 3.
1 in 3.
1 in 3.
When we're talking about 2 women a week being murdered by a partner or ex-partner, current partner or an ex-partner, we start to understand this is an enormous issue. And when we also consider in our workplace, in our workplace cultures, we also have perpetrators.
Yep.
You know, that culture of, you know, sexist, derogatory viewpoints and, you know, so we have to take responsibility. We all have to look at how we can change and influence us, you know, the circles within how we, where we operate and who we can come into contact with. And, you know, it's not about the government fixing everything. It is about us all taking responsibility and trying to see how we can make change, because we have to. This cannot go on. We cannot afford to continue in this way as a society.
Rosie, it's I appreciate the chat. Thank you, and I wish you the very best of luck in this, but also in everything that you've been talking to us about. I thank you for it.
Thank you, Justin. Nice to talk to you all.